I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Hebrews. And the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, let's follow the reading in God's precious and God's holy word together tonight. Hebrews chapter 10. And we commence reading God's word at the verse number 17. And in verse 17, the Spirit of God has recorded here a tremendous statement for us that will be a rich blessing and a challenge to our hearts. It says in verse number 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, after the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye shall receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word for his name's sake. Amen. Those that gathered was last Lord's Day evening will remind our hearts that we gathered in God's house, and as we considered the Word of God, we reminded ourselves of the grand provision of God that God has made for sinful mankind, for the sinful lost souls of men and women through the precious atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God as we study the Word of God and thought about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that indeed through the blood that pardon was given. We find that through the blood that peace was granted. We thank God, we find that in through the blood the power was girded, and through the blood the paradise was gained. All through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonder of it all is this. Whenever we think of all these wonderful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, we realize that it is a blessing to those that once were lost in sin, Once we're bound for hell and with our back to God. Once carried within our breast not only a lost, but a hopeless soul and hopeless condition. We were reading over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2 we read these words in verse number 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. At that time ye were without Christ. And Paul was able to write to the church at Ephesus and to these believers there, these Ephesian believers. And he was able to tell them that there was a time in their lives that they were without Christ. But thank God, that's not where they remained. Thank God he was able to say to them that they were in Christ. In verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus. And I asked you at the commencement of this service this evening in the ministry of the word, tell me which situation describes your soul. The statement there in verse number 12, ye were without Christ. Is that the standing of your soul tonight? Is that the situation of your unconverted, unredeemed heart, friend? Do you see it? That tonight without Jesus, you are without Christ. Without Christ. Thank God for those that are saved tonight. We can say, but now in Christ Jesus. And we have a wonderful blessing and blessed standing and position. Our position is in Christ Jesus. And thank God there's coming a day that we will be with Christ Jesus. And we will be with him for all eternity. What an awful tragedy if you're just at the first point without Christ. Men and women, I pray tonight that the Spirit of God will reveal to your soul just exactly what that means. The hymn writer said, oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope, no refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Master, one without thee would dare to die? You know, whenever I attended Antrim last evening and when I stood there at the barrier and went into the station, and then this morning to go into the barracks of those young soldiers. You see, let me tell you, my friend, the background. Here were young lads, and they were just about to go to Afghanistan. They had changed their uniforms. They were ready to get onto the plane to go to Bright Norton and then to head out to Kandahar and then to Camp Bastion. That's the places that I was just a few weeks ago. In Camp Bastion and also in Kandahar and also in Bryce Norton. And those lads were just ready to go, but before some of them were going, they wanted to get a pizza. And so they ordered the pizza and two cars came down. A young lad, a Polish lad, and another young local lad in Antrim. And they left the pizza hut and they went to there to deliver their pizza. And let me tell you, those lads were expecting a pizza, not knowing that in a few moments' time it would be a call to eternity. They made the call to the pizza hut. But friends, there was a greater call that was about to come suddenly. Out into God's eternity. Out into God's eternity. And two young, precious souls, 21 years of age. Friends, their souls out in God's eternity tonight. And friend, I say to you before God, do you not realize how suddenly it all can change? Let me tell you this, it's not a lingering death sometimes. Quite often it is in a moment, just in a second, it all can change. Not only your life can change, but your soul's destiny, friend. Listen, it can be a lost eternity for all eternity if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, listen, let me ask you a question. At this time, at this very moment tonight in the service, here in the month of March in year 2009, can I ask you, is this a statement concerning your soul? At this time, I am without Christ. I am without Christ. I'll tell you, my friend, there is no greater tragedy. There is no greater tragedy to be without Jesus, to be without Jesus Christ, to have within your breast a lost soul, to
going out into a Christless, endless eternity without Christ. And maybe someone's sitting tonight in the service, and you've heard the gospel so many times, let me tell you, you can even preach it yourself. You can even correct the preacher at times, and you say, preacher, you left this out, you left that out. You know it so well. But listen, my friend, let me tell you this, you can have all the head knowledge you want. But if you haven't a heart experience of Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you are lost. You are lost. You are without Christ. At this time, you are without Christ. Now look at the verse 12 again, what that means. It says, you're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, you're strangers from the covenant of promise. Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus. And then he says, this is what it means to be without Jesus. Having no hope and without God in this world. Having no hope and without God. Friend, your situation without Jesus Christ tonight is a hopeless situation. I tell you this, it's not only hopeless. You're not only facing tomorrow without hope. You're not only facing tonight without hope. You're not only facing death without hope. You're facing God's eternity, and it's never going to end. It'll never come to an end. Go on throughout the endless eons of eternity. Without hope. Without God. Without Christ. What a hopeless situation to be in. I asked you tonight, do you realize that without Jesus, that's exactly where you are? Yes, there's many things you might tell me about characteristics about you. You may be a singer. You may be able to join in the songs of Zion. You may be a tremendous reader of the Word of God. You're not saved. You are without hope tonight. You know, Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he said this, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And then he said this, thank God, he says, you're not like others which have no hope. But friend, to be honest, if you're not saved, you're not the one without, with hope in your heart. You are the one without hope. And I don't care what you may think tonight. I don't care what people may say about you tonight. Listen, you have a hopeless situation. You are in a tragic situation without Jesus Christ. You have absolutely no hope. No hope. Thank God there are those tonight in this service, and the Lord Jesus changed all that for you. And there's something beats within your breast tonight that the world has never given to any man, and that is, listen, that God has given you a blessed hope. A blessed hope. We sang a moment ago, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I tell you, that's a rich blessing tonight, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awful thing to be without hope. If you ever you looked into eyes of someone without hope. I've seen little children, friend, let me tell you, in this world. And whilst you and I enjoyed the plenty on the table today, there's little children and their little bodies are swollen. And you've seen them take the cameras and you've seen it on the television screen just looking into the eyes of little children. And friend, written right across them was hopelessness. Without hope. No hope for another piece of bread. Dying in hopelessness. I've sat with many a parent. I've sat with mothers with little children in their arms. And I've watched the little children slip away. Friend, let me tell you, I've looked into their faces. Next across their face been the Word without hope. Thank God, God doesn't leave us there. And God doesn't want you to sit tonight in this service without hope. He doesn't want you to remain in that situation. He doesn't want you to be still in your sin. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, yes, whilst we were in that hopeless situation, whilst we were lost, whilst we were on our way to a Christless hell, what did God do? God commends His love to you. God reaches out His hands of love and mercy. He points you to His Son. And as His blessed Son holds out His hands of love to you, you see the marks of Calvary in His hands. Because He loved me. And He gave Himself a ransom for me. Well, the Lord Jesus can make the difference tonight. He can turn a hopeless situation into a situation of blessed hope. I think of the 7th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. I see a procession. In actual fact, I see two processions. I see the Savior making His way into the city of Nain. And as He makes His way, His disciples and the crowds of people are with Him. But as He was making His way toward that city, He sees another procession. It's a funeral procession. And as I look at that procession, I see a woman walking in the front of the procession. And I see her broken. I stop a moment and I say, "Dear, tell me. Why is the pain?" She points to the young man that lies upon the timber there that would take him to the grave. And she would say, "My only son. He was my only hope." You see, my friend, she stands and she walks alone because the Bible says she was a widow. And her partner's gone and now her child's gone. She feels hopeless. But Jesus steps forth. Thank God He changes that situation, that hopeless situation. And He gives that son back to his mother. Let me tell you your position, dear unsaved person. Just turn your Bibles back to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to mark one verse in Proverbs chapter 14. There's a great dividing line right down this church tonight. In Proverbs chapter 14, it says the verse number 32. This is what the Word of God says. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. And dear unconverted man and dear unconverted woman, let me tell you this. If you close your eyes in death tonight and you step out into God's eternity, they can sing at your funeral services about the angels coming to welcome you. They can sing about the glories of heaven and what it must be to be there. But let me tell you, the Word of God tells me something different. Because when the unconverted man or the unconverted woman closes her eyes in death, it's not the welcoming Savior that waits for you. It is indeed the Savior that will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed." And the Bible says the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. But the righteous hath hope. His death. Thank God for those that are saved tonight. We have a blessed assurance. We have something that the world can never give a man. We have something the world, let me tell you, can't afford. All the treasures of the world. Listen, they're talking about not only their billions now to rescue the financial situation. They're talking about their trillions. I want to tell you this, the trillions of the world could never rescue the hopeless soul of a lost man
without Jesus Christ. Thank God the righteous had hope in their death. I want to speak this evening just for a few moments tonight as we think about what we have in Jesus Christ. There's a little verse over there, and we read in Hebrews chapter 10. And as I paint the picture of that backcloth of hopelessness, let me tell you what the believer has, what the child of God has. In Hebrews chapter 10, this is what the Word of God says. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward." We have an assurance and a confidence that sustains us, that keeps us steady even in the darkest night. Thank God we have an anchor that keeps the soul. It's steadfast and sure though the billows roll. It's anchored to the rock which cannot move. It's grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. And thank God with this confidence we can rise above our fears. Thank God no matter what the devil throws at us. Praise the Lord, we still have a blessed confidence, a blessed assurance that is able to carry us through. And even in the darkest night, the Bible says, unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. Oh, dear unsaved person, there is no light in your darkness. For remember, you're without hope. And any light that you enjoy through this lifetime, let me tell you, you're headed not only to darkness, dear unsaved person. I want to be honest with you tonight. The Word of God tells me you're headed to outer darkness. You're headed to what the Bible talks about, the blackness of darkness. And then it says this, forever. You ever thought of that? Have you ever lain in pain in the night hours, friend? And have you ever longed for the morning to come? Has there ever been times in your life that you've gone through a valley experience and whilst others were sleeping around you, you were troubled and you couldn't sleep? And how you longed for the morning to break. Maybe you got up and you slipped out of the room while your loved one was sleeping there. And they were sleeping in contentment. But friend, you walked out of the room and you wandered around. And you were just waiting for the breaking of the day. You were longing for the morning to come. It would seem as if the life's experience that you were going through was so lonely. It was so dark. And you longed for the breaking of the day. And then something happened. Morning has broken. Somehow you're energized to go on to another day. As many a man fears the darkness coming at night. There's many a young lad, let me tell you this, my friend. They cannot sleep in the darkness, but the Bible says it's the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, to be without a Savior. Oh, God, that Thou would reveal to us what it means for a person without Your Lord Jesus to die and be lost. Oh, that God would take us to the very brink of hell itself and open the trap door of the damned that you and I might realize what it is for lost souls to be in hell forever without hope. And then God to say, go forth. Tell them of Jesus. I believe, friend, be honest, we need a vision of what it is for men and women to perish. Because we're so cold. God's children are so careless. And as the hymn writer says, few there are who seem to care, and few there be who pray. Touch my heart, O God, fill my life and give me souls today. I want to tell you this, my friend. I am confident, first of all, in the pardon of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, it says, lovely statement, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And when he speaks about their sins, friend, you know, I put my name there, my sins. Because I confess that before God, at best I'm only a sinner that's saved by grace, but my sins and iniquities will God remember no more. Thank God he is a God who pardons sin. Who is a pardoning God like thee? And you know, tonight as I gather in God's house, I bless the Lord that I can stand on this pulpit and I can tell men and women in this service tonight, God is a God who is ready to pardon you. God is a God who is ready to deal with your sin, to pardon your sin. Look at that little statement in Micah. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. That's what it says. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" And then it tells us in Isaiah chapter 44, it tells us that he blots out our sins as a cloud. And thank God he also goes on to say, he puts our sins into the depths of the sea. He says in this verse in Hebrews, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Praise God, he has dealt with our sins through his precious blood. And I can say tonight, glory to God, I will not cast away my confidence because I am confident in the pardon of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm confident in the pardon of Christ. You know, God invites the sinner to come and be pardoned. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And God has blotted out the handwriting against us. Praise God. Our sins, which are many, that stand against us. Listen, my friend, you don't need to fear meeting God, because if you come to Jesus and rest upon the finished work of his cross, your sins and your iniquities will he remember no more. He will not only deal with your sin, praise God, he will cleanse you from your sin and he'll make you clean. Now are ye clean through the word. Oh, praise God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And I can stand tonight in this and I can say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I will not cast away my confidence because I am confident in the pardon of Christ. Are you? You know, the hymn writer said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock." Praise God. Listen, my friend, I don't need to fear, my friend, of being lost. Why? Because the one who has saved me, praise God, I'll never perish. The demons in hell and the powers of hell may be against me. They may seek, my friend, to trouble my mind and trouble my heart and at times take me into a place of despondency. But praise God, there's one thing they will never be able to do. They'll never be able to take me into hell. Because my Savior says, "I give unto my sheep eternal life." Yes, I, that's the Lord. I give, that's the gift. "Unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." That's the Savior speaking, friend. That's not me holding on to the Lord. But praise God, that's God holding on to me. That's why Paul says, "I am persuaded that there's nothing can separate me from the love of God." Listen very quickly. I can be confident in the pardon of Christ, for he has dealt with my sin. Secondly, I can be confident in the purpose of Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3.
In Ephesians chapter 3, it says in the verse number 10 these words, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Thank God tonight I can have confidence not only in the pardon of Christ, I can have confidence in the purpose of Christ. You know it says there, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ. I'll tell you what he purposed in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, friend, before God ever hung the earth in its axis or put this old world in space, I want to tell you, before God ever created this old world or the galaxies or anything else, I was chosen in Christ. I was in the heart of the Father. And I was given to the Son. Thank God I am conscious tonight that my Father has purposed my redemption. My Father, my Heavenly Father, the one who loved me, the one who thought upon me, the one who chose me. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And thank God the night in the month of June 1957, when this little boy came to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you this, my friend, he was fulfilling his sovereign purpose in the salvation of my soul. And he gave me something that night. He gave me the gift of faith. It's not that I could put my faith in him in reality, because God knows how weak and empty that faith would be. But praise God, he gave me the gift of faith. And that night I trusted in the redeeming blood and the finished work and the sacrifice of his cross. I'll never understand it. I'll never be able to take it in why God ever thought upon somebody like me to save my precious soul, to ever make me whole, to ever want me to be a part of his family. But oh, friend, I know in the eternal purpose of God, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. See, everything that I have tonight is in Christ. The eternal purpose of God centered in Christ. That, as the scripture says in Colossians, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I want to tell you this. God's Son will have the preeminence in the redemption of the souls of sinners. He will have the glory. He will not give his glory to anyone else. And I look over my life, and I am conscious of the overruling hand of a sovereign God. A God who knows what's best. I rang the surgeon this week. I asked rather that he would ring me, because we're missing each other. I spoke to him the other night and I said to the surgeon, suppose really it doesn't often happen this way. I said to him, sir, I just want to talk about the operation. I said, this might be silly to you, but I said, I want to ask you a question. Tell me, will I be able to play the piano? It's a big part of my life. And I sat down at the piano tonight, and that will be certainly the last time for several months that I'll be playing it. But that was on my heart. But my Father knows what's best.
My Heavenly Father is the one who looks after the little sparrows. There's not one falls to the ground, but he knows. And let's be honest, why do we spend so much time tossing and turning at night and worrying about tomorrow? Your Heavenly Father, the one who cares for the little sparrow, the one who made the lovely flowers of the field. Thank God he cares for you and me. I often think what Joseph said to his brothers. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I'm sure there are people in this service tonight. And maybe this past week has been a tough week, and maybe the news has been hard to take. Maybe the situations you're going through, you feel that somehow the plan's been lost, the plot's a mess. Have you handed your life to the Lord? Are you really trusting him? For this is what the Word of God says. As for God, his way is perfect. I don't know sometimes the road the Lord takes. I don't understand the twists and turns, but this I know, that God's sovereign. And I am confident not only in the pardon of Christ, thank God, I am confident in the purpose of Christ. Very quickly, thirdly, I'm confident in the pity of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this in verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our faith, or our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And then turn over to Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, it says this word, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. Oh, I'm confident tonight in the pity of Christ. Christ Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In Isaiah 63 verse 9, in all their afflictions, it says, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Hymn writer asks the question, does Jesus care? My heart is break. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the day is are dreary, and the long nights weary, I know that my Savior cares. Have you that confidence tonight? Do you know that you have a confidence tonight? Have you that confidence in the pardon of Christ, in the purpose of Christ, in the pity of Christ? And with this I finish. I'm confident in the promises of Christ.
Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says this in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Underline this. For he is faithful. The promise. Then tell me this. Look up here. Could you find a better pillow to lie upon than that promise? He is faithful. The promise. We have a faithful God tonight. A God who cares what you're going through. A God who is working all things according to the eternal purpose of his will. And yet a God who says in that eternal purpose that all things will work together for good to them that love God. Therefore, cast not away your confidence, brother. Rest. Rest in the Savior tonight. Lay your head upon the promise of a God who is faithful to promise. Look at verse 36 or verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Glory to God. He'll reward your confidence. And he'll not only do it in a simple and little way. It says, which hath great recompense of reward. Glory to God. There's an abundance of reward for your confidence in Christ. He'll not let you down. He'll not let you go. He'll not let you, my friend, be lost. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and praise God. You'll have a great recompense of reward. For, verse 36, ye have need of patience. Boys, doesn't the Lord know us? Mom, you need a good dose of patience. Daddy, and you're just about to let go at times. You need a patience. I say, Lord, that's me. I'm in here. I have need of patience. Listen, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Why? Because he's faithful. The promised. Listen, get your eyes on the off situation, friend. And get your eyes on the Lord. Hymn writer said rightly, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory of grace. Look to him that promised. That's why we started our service tonight by singing hymn. What do we sing? Standing on the promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. What, my friend? I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. For I'm standing on the promises of God. Plead the promises tonight. Prove the promises. And find God tonight. If you're not saved, if you come as a sinner to Jesus, listen to this promise. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast you out. You'll come to him. Daddy, dear man, dear woman, unsaved, unconverted,
without hope. Friend, your eyes might light up for the things of the world, but I want to tell you, in your eyes there's a hopelessness. The wonder of your heart reminds us that you have no hope for eternity. You need Jesus. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he is faithful. That promise. You take hold of that? Backslider, he's simply saying to you tonight, come on home. I love you. I love you. Come on home. Come on back to me. And I'll restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word tonight. And tonight, in Jesus' name, we shall not cast away our confidence. But we thank thee, Lord, that we rest in thee. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross and shedding your precious blood that we can be saved and be sure of heaven. That we can rest in the confidence of the pardon that you have provided. And in the purpose that is planned and the pity. And tonight we claim the promises. And Lord, we pray that by your grace and by your Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and just, Lord, make it the means of bringing some precious soul to Jesus. Save the lost and restore the fallen. In Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed, friend. Let's sing that little verse of a lovely old gospel hymn. Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And then I beg you in God's name, come to Jesus tonight. I'm not asking you to come to church, and although it's great to see you here. What's more important, you come to Jesus. Come and welcome. Come and welcome to Jesus. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there's one tonight you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. Let me tell you, friend, you can come. He's ready to save. You can be pardoned. He's ready to pardon. But you must by faith come. Oh God, give the gift of faith tonight to those without Jesus. Let's sing the verse.
Just as
your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's the one tonight in the service you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'd love to be saved. Backslidden, I'd love to be restored. One right now, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you indicate that desire? Would you slip that hand toward heaven tonight? Just raise that hand above your head, and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm here as one who must give account. We long that you know Jesus, friend. We long that you be saved. A backslider that you be brought back to the place of blessing. Is there one tonight? Just lift that hand above your head. Just as I am and waiting not the final invitation. Just as is the one tonight as we close. Friend, I beg you, don't wait for another occasion. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. He says, behold, now is the day of salvation. In the closing second of this meeting, is there someone here? May God break our hearts and bend our wills
Lamb of God, I come. So one. Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of those that are gathered here. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' precious name, take away the rebelliousness of man's heart. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, those that are near the kingdom, I pray that you'll give them grace to step over the line. Just rest in the finished work and the precious blood of your Son. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name and for his eternal glory. Amen.